Welcome to another episode of the Stop Hiding in the Crowd podcast, a weekly show designed to help you come out of the shadows and into the life you were born to live. Join us each week as our guests share personal stories, valuable insights, and inspiration to help you break through any barrier to your next level. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button and turn on your notifications so you don't miss any future episodes.
Compared to the prosthetics back then.
Gotcha.
So it was important to have the knee joint. And back then there wasn't a lot of people that were amputees my age. Mm. A lot of them were older people because of diabetes or things like that. Unfortunately, after the, you know, wars and stuff in Iraq and things like that, now we have these veterans coming back that are amputees. So there's a lot more things you can do as an amputee now than before.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So there was a lot going on. What was your thought process during all this? And especially, I want to go back to what you said your friend told you when you called him on the phone about him praying. Yeah. So what was your thought process about everything that was going on at that time?
Ooh, there was so much, because I was going to a church at that time that believed in creative miracles. I've seen creative miracles. I've was raised on, I don't know if people know who these people I'm going to say are, like John G. Lake, A.A. Allen, Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman,
yeah.
You know, R.W. Schambach, all these people who used to have what they call tent meetings, and arms and legs grew and eyes came out and, you know, all these things. So I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, like, okay, God, you know, you're the God yesterday, today, and forever, and my leg's going to grow back in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to be good. You know what I mean? So sure. I had that, but I also had the reality, I have to make a decision.
Mm.
So I made the decision. I was excited about the possibility of believing God for that, right? Because I was in a church that believed that. I've seen those things happen at sure. that time. I've had these people, Lester Summerall, all these different men and women of God come to my church. I've seen it.
Mm.
They've prophesied over me. They laid hands on me. So somebody could not tell me that it wasn't possible.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So my faith was here. What I knew, my mentality was here. But again, the reality of who I am, I was scared.
Mm, yeah.
Because I didn't know what to expect. And I remember telling the doctors, I said, what do you do with the leg afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we save it to show other people, you know, to show the interns and stuff. And I said, well, I was going to be a trauma nurse. I said, I want to see it.
Mm.
And he was like, what? What do you mean you want to see it? I said, I want to see it because I understand PTSD, that you have to have closure. And I said, I want to see it so that I know it's not going to come back. Like, you're not going to fix it and put it back on. Like, you know, and they wouldn't let me.
Mm.
They wouldn't let me see it because he said, well, you're going to go through a traumatic thing. I said, you don't think I went through a traumatic thing on the floor when I.
Right.
I did not see my leg on scene because I couldn't see past my knees. So I don't know what my leg looked like on scene. My boyfriend at the time and the people around me has said that it looked like something just completely smashed it. They had descriptions for it for me and everything, but I did not personally see it on scene. All I saw was my leg cut open at that time.
So yeah. I want to go back to something that you said. You know, you had personal experience, you know, seeing these divine miracles take place, and that your faith was on a high, but then there was your natural reality here.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a commonplace, you know, for people of faith. What advice would you give to someone who, you know, maybe believing God, you know, they know that he's able to do it. They believe deep down in their heart, but they may be afraid, or they may have a sense of disappointment, or there may be people in their ear, you know, saying that, you know, oh, that's a bunch of foolishness. What advice would you give to a person that's in that place?
Man, God, help me make this short and sweet.
Take your time.
Because after 34 years of, after 34 years of my faith being challenged, I'm trying to answer it. Do you want me to answer it from a place of where I am now with the understanding and the process of everything that I've gone through? Or do you want the answer of who Benita was back then?
Oh, that's a great question.
Because there's two different answers to that.
Give it from the perspective now, you know, hindsight being 2020.
Hindsight being 2020. The first scripture I learned was not John 3:16. That was common. The first scripture I learned was Luke 1:37. Nothing is impossible with God.
Yeah.
That was the thing I held on to. I knew that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I knew it was going to happen. I knew I was going to have divine miracles happen in my life. I knew I was going to see creative miracles in my personal life. Because if God could do it back then, he can do it now.
Amen.
The advice I would give is hold on to your faith. Because God gives everybody a mustard seed of faith.
Yeah.
My mustard seed was Luke 1:37. I held on to that.
Yeah.
I held on to what I believed. And it's a personal relationship with God. It's not religion.
Yeah.
Religion is very different than a relationship.
Yeah.
A relationship you can have in the bathroom, you can have on the toilet with God, where God has talked to me multiple times when I'm on the using the bathroom. He's talked to me multiple times in my car, that I carry a journal in my car. I mean, a writer thing in my car. It's personal. You don't need to be at a church to have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
That's number one.
That's good.
So when you hear anything that comes against your belief, whatever that is,
yeah,
you have to push it aside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because faith and fear cannot operate in the same room.
Yeah, that's good.
Why do you think that whenever Jesus was going to pray for the woman for the child to come back to life, he told the others to step outside?
Right.
Because even energetically, you cannot have an atmosphere of faith and an atmosphere of fear operating at the same time.
That's so good.
Faith has to be more dominant than the fear. Always. And when it's times of, because God will tell somebody something, and that faith is not for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
God will tell somebody a promise, and you know that it's a promise that God has told you. You know it's a desire that you have.
Yeah.
But other people can't see it. So they're going to tell you, oh, well, you can't be that millionaire. You can't be that one that that finds a cure for cancer. You can't be that one. Oh, it's never been done before. Yeah, it's never been done before because God gave me that vision.
Yeah, talk about it.
For me to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the people that have created all these amazing things, where did that desire come from?
Mm.
It came from God.
Yeah.
It takes one person to make a change. So my advice would be, if you know that you have a desire for something that God has given you, don't listen to that.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I'm going to even say this too. Sometimes it's, you have to be stern. You have to, that mustard seed of faith needs to be protected.
Yeah, that's good.
So there comes times when you hear the people talking to you, oh, well, that can't happen. That can't happen. And for me, I'm speaking for me, I wanted to be nice and be like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. But there came a time when I was like, no, you need to keep your mouth shut because you may not have the faith for it, but I'm going to do it. So watch God.
That's right.
Watch God work through me.
Be bold.
So they have to have that time. So yeah, if God told you something, if you truly believe something, that nothing is impossible, guard it, protect it, and feed it. Feed it with the word of God. Surround yourself with friends who will come in agreement with you. And most importantly, man, there were times when I succumb to that fear, because it's natural. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I had friends and family and leaders in my church that would just say, hey, that's not the woman who you are. Remember, God said this. Remember, he said that. So it's always watch the company that you keep.
I love that. Yeah.
Watch the company that you keep.
Oh, that was some great nuggets in that. And I believe that you helped to free somebody with that. And I'm going to jump around a little
bit. Go ahead.
So if I have the dates right, August 1st, you're released from the hospital.
Yeah.
This was so funny to me. What did you decide that you wanted to do when you got released from the hospital?
Well, I was with my best friend, Rosie, and she came to my house. And I decided that I wanted to go out dancing to a Weber dance. At that time, I lived with my mom in Des Plaines. We had moved from the city and we moved to Des Plaines. And my mom was like, how are you going to drive? How are you going to go out dancing? I said, well, I have my little leg and stuff. So I'll, you know, have the crutch and I'll put my little leg through where you put your hand and I'll be on the dance floor. I don't care. And so Rosie was with me and I had a Pontiac Le Mans. And she was like, well, I'll drive. I'm like, no, I want to drive. She's like, girl, how are you going to drive? You don't have a leg. I said, well, we'll figure it out, you know? So for a block, I put my little leg that she called Stumpy on her lap because the car was small. So I could put like my leg over there. We had a little pillow.
She calls it what?
Stumpy.
Stumpy.
my little Stumpy. So we did that. And for like a block, I was putting the gas, putting the brake, putting the gas, putting the brake with my left foot. Mm. And I said, okay, are you ready? Let's put our seatbelts on because we're going to get on the expressway. She's like, oh my God, what? I'm like, yeah, we're going to do this.
You drove on the expressway?
I drove on the expressway, yeah, to the Weber dance. And I got out, I had my shorts on, and we went to the dance. And it was funny, too, because that night we came back home, and she stayed in my bed with me. I had a full-size bed. And at the hospital, they had the bars up, so you don't get out. Well, it was my first night home, went out dancing. I had to go to the bathroom. So I went to go step out of bed, forgot I didn't have a leg, and stepped and fell. I'm laughing hysterically. Rosie's crying. She's holding my little leg in her hands. And she's like, oh my God, stop me. She's crying. My mom comes in and she's crying. Oh my God, my baby fell. My mom's like, why are you laughing? I said, because I forgot I didn't have a leg. It was the first time that I didn't have the bars to restrict me, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you just kind of go with it. But yeah, I wanted to go out dancing. I needed to go out dancing. And I taught myself how to drive.
Mm. Yeah, I love that story. I watched your documentary and I played that part over and over again. One, because I kind of think that it's metaphoric. You know, and it tells me a lot about you and your resilience and your spirit.
Being stubborn. Let's be honest. It was being stubborn.
Being stubborn, if you want to call it that. But it showed that you adapted to your situation rather quickly.
Yeah.
So I love that story. I'll remember that forever. you know, you're getting back to some form of normalcy in life. And then you encounter what I call the breakup and the breakdown.
Mm.
Soon after you get some news, you know, about your boyfriend and some things that he said. What did you hear and how did that impact you?
This is dating us back big time. I was at a TKA concert. Do you remember TKA back then? The male group TKA?
The name sounds familiar. Yes.
Three guys, they were singing, and we were at their concert, or they were performing somewhere with some friends. And my girlfriend's boyfriend at the time came up to me because I was there with my boyfriend, which was the one I was with when I had my accident. And he was like, Benita, what are you doing with him? I'm like, what are you talking about? I go, I was just with him last night, you know, meaning intimately. Mm-hmm. And he was like, he said he's no longer with you because you're no longer sexually attractive to him. And prior to that, I never saw myself any different. Obviously, going to a Weber dance the day I get out with shorts and no leg, you know, and I never saw myself as different until that day. And I remember it hit me like a ton of bricks. And that's when it became reality to me that I was an amputee now. That I was missing something that I considered made me feminine. Yeah.
Wow. It kind of goes back to what you had said previously about, you know, protecting your environment. Obviously, you know, you didn't know that he was saying that, but
right.
The effect and the power that words can have.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Big time.
How would you define yourself now?
It's funny you say that, you ask that question, because I'll be honest, and nobody knows about this right now, except I'm basically saying it, because I don't...
We're getting an exclusive?
I need to put my... So a lot of people look at me and they know what I've been through. In my documentary, it shows my struggle, right? But it doesn't show yet the breakdown, right? It shows the trauma. It shows the lesson. It shows how I overcame. But it doesn't show the raw crying, the raw breakdown, the raw frustration. Mm-hmm. So I'm a right leg below knee amputee. I have been for 34 years. The last 6 weeks, I have been pressing through left leg sciatica, which is extremely painful if nobody has ever been through it. It's a nerve pain that I had to go to the emergency room this past Monday because the pain was so excruciating. I thought I was going to pass out. And I've been through a lot in my life. I can handle pain, and I don't say that like pridefully, but I say that I have a high tolerance for pain, but this kind of nerve pain, no. And yesterday and this morning, I was at a place where it wasn't yesterday. It was today that God taught me the reason why. But Monday, I was at a place like, why, God, why am I going through this and that, you know, blah, 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 this and that, like angry.
Sure.
Like, did I open a door? I've been serving you, this and that. I believe in your word. I believe in your promises. Why is this happening to me? Like anger. Mm-hmm. Because the pain was so bad. And he wasn't answering me. Mm-hmm. So it was making me even more mad. Because I'm like, you talk to me about all these different things. I just had this breakthrough on Friday, you know, doing the Boricua Talks thing. Yes, going through pain during that time too, but believing you through it. And now all of a sudden, this, what's going on? I go, you know what, God? I want an answer now. Because you said that I can ask you for things and I can come to the throne of grace with boldness. So I am asking you to tell me right now, what is going on? Did I open a door? Do I need to repent? Do I need, like, is it a generational curse? What is it? Sure. What is going on?
Sure.
And silent. Ooh, it got me even more mad. So then I went to the emergency room and there was this girl there and she was young. And she was crying too. And I was holding back the pain because I didn't want to express my full pain in the emergency room because there were other people there.
Sure.
And at that point, I was mad. I didn't want to give the devil an opportunity to see my pain. You know, it was more psychological for me. Let's just be honest.
Sure.
So this girl was in pain. I asked her what was wrong. And she said that she had a cyst on her brain and her birthday was yesterday. And she admitted herself out of the hospital because she didn't want to spend her birthday in the hospital. But she came back because the pain was so intense. She was walking around and she was crying. And I said, come here. And I held her and I said, let's cry together. And I said, you know, I feel your pain. I'm here for you. I wanted to pray for her. That's where my heart was. But out of respect, I didn't know where she was. I understood her pain. She may not have wanted it at the time, But that didn't stop me from praying for her as I was holding her in my mind. You know, I was just loving on her.
Sure.
She started crying and we broke the embrace and she walked away and she sooner or later got served. And I didn't think about that. Right. I didn't think about, it was just something I did in the moment because it's who I am. So I go back, God still hasn't answered me anything. I got medication or whatever. Then it was Thursday? So it was Tuesday the next day. I was listening to messages and feeding my faith that Monday when I was at home. And that Tuesday I called off work this whole week. And I started listening to messages and I'm like, you know what? I wrote on my wall, if I take you throughout my house, my whole door is a vision board. My mirror, I write things on my mirror that God has told me to remind me of what he said. So everywhere in my house, I have motivational things up. I have things that feed my faith, right? And feed the promises that God has told me. Love Everybody knows that coming into my house, you'll see something somewhere. So I was in the bathroom and I was in the shower and I had the hot water on my leg and I'm crying. I am in agonizing pain and I have the hot water on my leg and I'm crying. I'm like about to pass out. And I look up and I wrote on my mirror, it says, speak those things as if it already is.
Yeah.
Because that's something God told me for my season of purpose. Whatever I tell you, whatever I show you, you speak it as it already is, not as it will be.
I love that.
I started to confess right there through my tears. I am healed. I am whole. And that's all I said. I am healed. I am whole. I am healed. I am whole. I'm crying. I'm in pain. I'm screaming literally into the towel. I am healed. I am whole. God, your blood did it for me.
Yeah.
I am healed. I am whole for a half an hour. And the more I said it, the more it became real. And the pain started to go away. And gradually, it has gotten better. Today, I had the revelation. Yesterday, I was watching a video about what Jesus went through on the cross for us, right? From a doctor's point of view, the nerve pain, the excruciating pain that he went through, the 9 hours that it took for him to be flogged with, you know, 39 lashes, for him to have the cat of nine tails ripping the flesh off his body. All these different things. And I say that because there's no coincidence in God. There's no coincidence in how we learn things and what the process is.
Yeah.
Sometimes God heals us instantly, creatively. Other times it's a process, but there's nothing that we go through in our life that God will not turn around for his good.
Love that.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So that's the Benita I am today. I realize there's nothing that I go through in my life that God will not use for my testimony and for an understanding, because I can have knowledge, but having understanding of that knowledge is different.
Yeah.
So when I was watching that video on YouTube yesterday about what he went through, how the Romans were very skilled in torture, how they would put the nail through the wrist, not the hand, but the wrist of Jesus, because that's what the Hebrew is. The Hebrew is the whole hand, including the wrist, and where your wrist comes together, you could put a nail through there. And they were skilled not to hit the artery, but to hit all the major nerves. And the same thing in the feet. And, but he never lost his mind. He was fully conscious through all that pain. And I'm like, I have just the sciatica pain that I'm going through.
Yeah.
All of his nerves were exposed, the excruciating pain, the 3 miles he had to walk on his hands and knees carrying the cross. That was not a smooth cross. It was all the cross was jagged and ripping into and rubbing against his exposed nerves. I'm like, So I thought about that. And I thought about what the Bible says, that the power is in his blood. And I put on worship music and I started just worshiping God. And I'm like, you know what, God? I have been redeemed by the curse of the law because you have been made a curse for me. So therefore, I am healed and I am whole right now. And I command my body to get in line with the word of God, because they said that I have a minor degenerative disc disease. that my disc, I have a bulging disc. They are saying I have a bulging disc in L4, L5, and that's where the sciatic is coming from.
Kind of like a pinched nerve.
A pinched nerve. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going through the pinched nerve and stuff like that. And that there's in the facets, that there's degenerative in the facets. I'm like, okay, God, thank you. Because now I have medical proof that this is what's going on. So when I go and I see the spine doctor to give me rehab and stuff like that, I'm going to go through that. I said, because you know what? All of this is medical documentation that when they go back and they see that there's no more degenerative disc disease, there's no more this and that, because they say the degenerative disc disease is non-reversible. But watch in me, God is going to be glorified, because it will be reversed, and I will have proof of that, not only of that, but of my leg and all the other things I've gone through. So I'm allowing the process to happen in the natural world.
Yeah.
But in the spiritual realm, I'm already healed. I'm already whole because I believe that. And my body is in alignment with that promise.
Yeah.
So who is Benita today? Benita today is learning the process of bringing the supernatural into the natural. I'm learning that process. I'm learning what it means to teach others. And not only to teach others, but to be an example, physical example of what that means and what that looks like. Because you cannot deny a reality when you see it in front of your face.
That's good.
So I'm thankful for the doctors. I'm thankful for, I can say now, I'm thankful for going through this pain, like all the other tests that I've had in my life. Because now, not only do I understand how the spiritual realm works and what I need to do, what my responsibility is to believe and to, at a place, surrender.
Yeah.
I learned yesterday something really important that I did not know. And it was, hold on, let me get it, because I took notes. I was listening to this message and he said in there that, you know, there's the word for God, Rapha. God, our healer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Hebrew for that means rest.
Mm.
So when we want healing, we need to rest in God.
Mm, that's good.
And we need to rest in his promises. And for me to take off a week of work, I didn't want to do that this week. But I did, and this is what I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
So not only does it mean that, but it means there was a scripture that he said that the only thing when it talks about rest, it's in Hebrews 4. The only thing when God talks about labor is when we have to labor into his rest. Meaning we labor to learn how to rest in him. All the other scriptures allow us, I don't want to say allow, but we have already entered his rest.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us rest. It always talks about him giving us rest, him giving us rest for the peace, him giving us rest for the poor, giving us rest for this, giving us rest for that. The only time he says that we have to do anything is in labor, is to enter the rest. So we have to come against that thing of doing.
Yeah.
That we have to do, that we have to do, that we have to do to get his rest. And there's so much blessing when we rest in him, especially for healing.
Mm.
And I'm learning that now. So the Benita now is someone that's learning the process of healing.
I love that.
Because I know I'm called to healing. I know it. And not just regular healing. And I'm not boasting this in myself. To that supernatural creative healing.
Yeah, I believe that.
So that's who Benita is now. I'm learning the process. I'm learning how to bring the supernatural of God into the natural. And it's not my doing. It's not me. It's having the knowledge of what the word says, right? Believing it going through the experience of the trials, the testing of my faith, surrendering to God what I think I know or how I think things should be, having him teach me, and now have the understanding.
That's good.
So it's a flow. Now I can share that with somebody else. I can show them how to do with the sciatica or to do with the healing or to, when their faith is low, what do? Sometimes we're just like, you know what? I give up. I can't do no more, God. I lay myself on the altar. Do what you got to do. And don't get me wrong. I sit here and I'm taking my meds. I'm taking the anti-inflammatories. I'm taking the muscle relaxers. I'm putting heat on my back. You know what I mean? I'm doing my stretches, my cobras and everything. I'm doing what I need to do for me.
Thank you so much for watching and listening to this week's episode of the Stop Hiding in the Crowd podcast. We don't take it for granted. Do us a favor. Please follow us on this podcast platform, as well as like, share, and download this episode, as that helps us to have higher visibility on this platform. If you have any questions, you can email it to info@stophidinginthecrowd.com. We'll see you on next Wednesday episode. Blessings.